Four poems by D.H. Lawrence. End of another home holiday. When shall I see the half moon sink again behind the black sycamore at the end of the garden? When will the scent of the dim white phlox creep up the wall to me and in at my open window? Why is it the long, slow stroke of the midnight bell, will it never finish the 12, falls again and again on my heart with a heavy reproach? The moon mist is over the village, out of the mist speaks the bell, and all the little roofs of the village bow low, pitiful, beseeching, resigned. Speak, you, my home, what is it I don't do well? Ah, home, suddenly I love you, as I hear the sharp, clean trot of a pony down the road, succeeding sharp little sounds, dropping into silence, clear upon the long-drawn hoarseness of a train across the valley. The light has gone out from under my mother's door. That she should love me so, she, so lonely, greying now, and I leaving her, bent on my pursuits. Love is the great asker. The sun and the rain do not ask the secret of the time when the grain struggles down in the dark. The moon walks her lonely way without anguish, because no one grieves over her departure. Forever, ever by my shoulder, pitiful love will linger, crouching as little house... Oh, that's wrong. Forever out of the mist, the church lifts up a reproachful finger, pointing my eyes in wretched defiance where love hides her face to mourn. Oh, but the rain creeps down to wet the grain that struggles alone in the dark, and asking nothing, patiently steals back again. The moon sets forth o' nights to walk the lonely, dusky heights serenely, with steps unswerving, pursued by no sigh of bereavement, no tears of love unnerving her constant tread, while ever at my side, frail and sad, with grey bowed head, the beggar woman, the yearning-eyed, inexorable love goes lagging. The wild young heifer, glancing distraught, with a strange new knocking life in a loneliness, the paws down the earth to hide, nay, even the slumberer's egg as it labours under the shell, patiently to divide and self-divide, asks to be hidden, and wishes nothing to tell. But when I draw the scanty cloak of silence over my eyes, piteous love comes peering under the hood, touches the clasp with trembling fingers, and tries to put her ear to the painful sob of my blood, while her tears soak through to my breast, where they burn and cauterize. The moon lies back and reddens. In the valley, a corncrake calls monotonously, with a plaintive, unalterable voice that deadens my confident activity, with a hoarse, insistent request that falls unweariedly, unweariedly, asking something more of me, yet more of me. Song of a man who has come through. Not I, not I, but the wind that blows through me. A fine wind is blowing the new direction of time. If only I let it bear me, carry me, if only it carry me, if only I am sensitive, subtle, oh, delicate, a winged gift, if only, most lovely of all, I yield myself and am borrowed by the fine, fine wind that takes its course through the chaos of the world like a fine, an exquisite chisel, a wedge blade inserted. If only I am keen and hard like the sheer tip of a wedge driven by invisible blows, the rock will split, we shall come at the wonder, we shall find the Hesperides. Oh, for the wonder that bubbles into my soul, I would be a good fountain, a good wellhead, would blur no whisper, spoil no expression. What is the knocking? What is the knocking at the door in the night? It is somebody wants to do us harm. No, no, it is the three strange angels, Admit them! Admit them! Snake. A snake came to my water trough on a hot, hot day, and I in pyjamas for the heat, to drink there. In the deep, strange, scented shade of the great, dark carob tree, I came down the steps with my pitcher, and must wait, must stand and wait, for there he was at the trough before me. He reached down from a fissure in the earth wall in the gloom, and trailed his yellow-brown slackness soft-bellied down over the edge of the stone trough, and rested his throat upon the stone bottom, and where the water had dripped from the tap in a small clearness, he sipped with his straight mouth, softly drank through his straight gums into his slack, long body, silently. Someone was before me at my water trough, and I, like a second comer, waiting. He lifted his head from his drinking as cattle do, and looked at me vaguely as drinking cattle do, and flickered his two forked tongue from his lips, and mused a moment, and stooped and drank a little more, being earth brown, earth golden from the burning bowels of the earth on the day of Sicilian July, with Etna smoking. The voice of my education said to me, he must be killed, for in Sicily the black, black snakes are innocent, the gold are venomous. And voices in me said, if you were a man, you would stake a stick and break him now and finish him off. But must I confess how I liked him, how glad I was he had come like a guest in quiet to drink at my water trough, and depart peaceful, pacified, and thankless, into the burning bowels of this earth. Was it cowardice that I dared not kill him? Was it perversity that I longed to talk to him? Was it humility to feel so honoured? I felt so honoured. And yet those voices, if you were not afraid, you would kill him. And truly I was afraid, I was most afraid. But even so honoured still more that he should seek my hospitality from out the dark door of the secret earth. He drank enough and lifted his head dreamily as one who has drunken, and flickered his tongue like a forked knight on the air, so black, seeming to lick his lips, and looked around like a god, unseeing into the air, and slowly turned his head, and slowly, very slowly, as if thrice a dream, proceeded to draw his slow length curving round and climb again the broken bank of my wall face. And as he put his head into that dreadful hole, and as he slowly drew up, snake easing his shoulders and entered farther, a sort of horror, a sort of protest against his withdrawing into that horrid black hole, deliberately going into the blackness and slowly drawing himself after, overcame me now his back was turned. I looked around, I put down my pitcher, I picked up a clumsy log and threw it at the water trough with a clatter. I think it did not hit him. But suddenly that part of him that was left behind, convulsed in undignified haste, writhed like lightning and was gone into the black hole, the earth-lipped fissure in the wall front, at which, in the intense still noon, I stared with fascination. And immediately I regretted it. I thought how paltry, how vulgar, what a mean act. I despised myself and the voices of my accursed human education. And I thought of the albatross, and I wished he would come back, my snake. For he seemed to me again like a king in exile, uncrowned in the underworld, now due to be crowned again. And so I missed my chance with one of the lords of life, and I have something to expiate, a pettiness. Bavarian gentians. Not every man has gentians in his house in soft September at slow, sad Michaelmas. Bavarian gentians, big and dark, only dark, darkening the daytime, torch-like, with the smoking blueness of Pluto's gloom, ribbed and torch-like, with their blaze of darkness spread blue down, flattening into points, flattened under the sweep of white day. Torch flower of the blue smoking darkness, Pluto's dark blue days, black lamps from the hills of Dio, burning dark blue, giving off darkness, blue darkness, as Demeter's pale lamps give off light. Lead me then, lead me the way. Reach me a gentian, give me a torch, let me guide myself with the blue forked torch of this flower down the darker and darker stairs, where blue is darkened on blueness, even where Persephone goes just now from the frosted September to the sightless realms where darkness is awake upon the dark, and Persephone herself is but a voice, or a darkness invisible, enfolded in the deeper dark of the arms plutonic, and pierced with the passion of dense gloom, among the splendor of torches of darkness, shedding darkness on the lost bride and her groom.